Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 103, the second paragraph that begins with "Someday We Hope," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kim T., will be reading the 12 steps, Courtney M. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Ellen D., Don B., and Kara L. The share ID for Monday, April 13th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 14,427. That's 14427. And for this morning's Tuesday, April 14th, 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 14,433. That's 14433. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask, I just lost my paper. So the person who's reading the 12 steps, would you read those, please?
Hi, Kathleen. It's Kim T. here to read the 12 steps.
Hi, Kim. Thanks.
Hi. Good morning. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kim T. And Courtney M., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Hi, this is Courtney M., a recovering overeater in Florida. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Sorry, I lost my place here because my son is doing something he shouldn't be doing. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to try to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me do service today. Be safe.
And thank you, Courtney M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 103, the second paragraph that begins with someday we hope, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Ellen D., if you could get us started, please.
Thank you. This is Ellen D., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem. But we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. I'm really grateful for AA and that they've helped the public and also all the other 12-step programs that came out of it. I can't imagine that Bill could see all that would happen, and it's just so amazing. I'm grateful. And then I'm really grateful that I got not only a better realization of the gravity of the problem, but I just got a better realization of what the problem was. I didn't understand what the problem was, that I had a twofold illness, a mental obsession and the allergy of the body. I didn't understand that. I didn't know what I was doing, and I needed to understand that. And I'm really grateful for this book and for a sponsor who took me through it and helped me really see that. And then the thing that really got me was I've seen that I've been of little use when my attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. If I'm going to be resentful and in conflict and in opposition, and especially I've seen that in face-to-face meetings when I think I know what's best or I think something should be done in a different way. I'm not being useful. And the thing that I love from this book is the last sentence on page 19 says, most of us sense that real tolerance of other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions are attitudes which make us more useful. And a lot of time I just pray that, God, help me have real tolerance for other people's shortcomings and viewpoints and respect for their opinions, because that'll make me more useful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Ellen D. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 103, the second paragraph?
Don B.
Don B.
Bruce E.
Bruce E. Roz G. Roz G.
Barbara E.
Dorita P.
Dorita P. I can take one more.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. Ooh, that was awesome, you guys. Nice and calm. Okay, Don B. I have Don B, Bruce E, Roz G, Barbara E, Dorita P, and Marilyn T. So go ahead, Don B.
Good morning. This is Don B, recovered in Southern California. Well, at first glance, I thought, I'm not sure what to share about when this paragraph, but then I started thinking about it a little more, and I realized how important it is in this chapter, working with others. It's kind of one of the final wrap-up comments that they have, and so to me, it highlights the most important thing that we can have when we're working with others, and that is an attitude of an attitude of tolerance and love and kindness. And you know, they say that there's so many things in life that we're powerless over. We're powerless over 99% of our lives. Oftentimes we don't have a choice over our circumstances. We don't have a choice over what life hands us. We don't have a choice over the behavior of others. But what we do have a choice over is our attitude. So, and it says in the book how we can recover regardless of anyone. We can be kind and loving and respond with love and tolerance regardless of what's handed to us. And that's what we're taught in the program. And our main goal is to be fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and others. And so with that as our ultimate goal, to be of maximum service to others, we try to carry the message. We try to help other people. We try to help the public have a better understanding. We try with our sponsees to help them recover. But in the trying, we have succeeded. So not that they will be changed, not that everyone that we try to help will respond with, oh, thank you so much for trying to help me and my life has been forever changed. Not that that will happen at all, but that we try and in good faith, we continue to, with service and self-sacrifice to others, we continue to enhance and enlarge our spiritual conditions. And if we do that, we have succeeded. And our attitude is the one thing we do have control over. So regardless of what we're handed, we can respond with love and tolerance. And that is a beautiful thing, so beautiful that this program teaches us, rather than responding with bitterness, rather than responding with hostility to whatever happens to us, we can respond with love and tolerance. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Don B. Okay, Brucey, it is your turn, followed by Roz G.
Okay, I think you said Bruce E. So
I did.
Here we go. Yes, thank you. Here we go with the Iceman Show. Okay, here, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. So got into vision about 3 years ago and found out that something I'd read out of the big book a number of times before in the doctor's opinion, but just didn't get it, that I'm allergic to specific foods, and if I ingest those foods, then what follows is that mental obsession and that compulsion immediately follows that ingestion of those foods. So had to put down those foods and begin to work steps with a sponsor, a recovered sponsor, and got recovered myself. So I'm Bruce. I'm a food addict down in recovered food addict down in Florida. So, well, what about this bitterness and hostility here? Little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Well, I mean, I spent my entire life from, I don't know how young I was, pretty young, all the way up through into recovery, in bitterness and hostility. I was mad at everybody. You know, the question was, who was I mad at? Well, I was mad at everybody, bitter at everybody. First angry and mad, and then resentful. And then that brought on the bitterness and the hostility. So I was bitter at everybody and hostile, and hostile towards everybody, striking out at everyone. And what got me addicted? What got me addicted to food? Well, it was my character defects or my instincts gone astray. It's pretty clear in 12 and 12 Alcoholics Anonymous that it's my instincts, my character defects, my sins that wanted to try to treat those somehow. So I treated them with food and finally found out it didn't work because the addiction beat me into submission to the point where I knew I couldn't do it myself and I had to get help from other people in order to do it. And that's where the phone meetings and the sponsor came in and all the other stuff. So it says here, little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Drinkers will not stand for it. So myself as a drinker, I can't stand this bitterness and hostility. It just eats me up. But how do others feel about it? They feel the same way because they're spotting it because they got it. So if I want to make friends, have friends in this program, I better figure out a way to get rid of that hostility and this bitterness. And that's in step six. Thank you. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. Okay, Roz G., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, driving. Boy, I could really relate to the last share, and right now I'm sitting in step six. I don't want to be sitting there, but I do want to be sitting there because I have become entirely willing to face my character defect of envy. And I can hook that into bitterness and hostility. You know, I grew up being jealous of my sister. And that was the way I learned how to survive, was to be envious of, to want what she had, you know, to want to be skinny and pretty. And that's my dog panting in the back there. Skinny and pretty and have it all together. It started with her. And then with any other lady that was skinny and pretty and seemed to have it all together, I wanted what they had. And I was angry about it because I wanted the attention that they had. And it just transferred with me all through my years, like the previous share, just bitter and angry at anybody that had what I wanted. And although maybe that character defect served me and protected me and propelled me into doing better for myself, I strove and strove and strove to the heights of heights and education and all that stuff. Yet it never really brought me joy. It just put one more block, like the building block. It put one more block on top. So as I am in step six, I am learning that this is exhausting and that I'm a member of the human race and that I just belong as another ant on the log or another bozo on the bus. And in this attitude, with this attitude, but seeing it as with joy and with, you know, not downing myself, but that we're all here and that this person has the same problem I do. How can I build them up? How can I use their recovery to help me boost mine? And without seeing people in an attitude of bitterness, hostility, and for me especially envy, but how can I see their recovery as a way to help me improve my recovery so that I can help somebody else improve their recovery? Because if it's the Roz show, I get you know, I get tired of listening to me, and so do others after a while. I want to seek balance. And thank you very much. I think that's, otherwise I'll be rambling. So I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Okay, Barbara E., you are up next, followed by Dorita P.
Okay, thank you so much. I have a desire to sing Rambling Rose right at this point. I'm not sure why. Well, for me, as I read the paragraph that you all read together with me, I saw that I had to be very careful not to disparage any other form of diet, because OA is not for everybody. It's for me, and I'd love to pass it on to you. But for me to disparage someone who says Weight Watchers works, or Diet Center works, or Jenny Craig works, for me to scoff would not be helpful at all. So I have to look at them as just other compulsive overeaters. Perhaps they're not even compulsive overeaters. Perhaps they're just not doing enough exercise and not realizing what they're consuming. So I have to be always mindful, and it sort of fits into the set-aside prayer. Today, please help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself, everything I think I know about others, and everything I think I know about my recovery and what your recovery should look like, for a new experience in myself, a new experience in my fellows, and my own recovery. I have to recover. And for me, that power that I never thought I had, I'll call it God because it's so simple, is what has saved my life. One day without reaching out to God, and God knows it. 2 days without reaching out to God, and I know it. And 3 days without reaching out to God, and everybody knows it. And it's not just the heroes that are out there that we have to be so amazed at, the ones who wear surgical masks and gowns and risk their lives, but the neighbors who are so helpful to us and to other people, and the Good Samaritans that wear masks and practice social distancing. And that's what I think we have to do in our life. Practice social distancing. When someone seems interested, come in, explain kindly and gently how OA has changed my life. And it is possible that it could change yours, but the decision is entirely up to you. And for me today, the word is hope. Heart open, please enter. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you, Barbara E. Okay, Dorita P., you're up next, followed by Marilyn T.
Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita P. from Cleveland, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, I love this paragraph. Someday we hope that Overeaters Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the food problem, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness or hostility. Overeaters or people with food problems will not stand for it. Yeah, you know, I hope that someday, you know, people become more aware of the gravity of the food problem. It seems like people really don't understand. I've come in contact with a few people who, when I explain my problem and sometimes explain, you know, the program that I belong to, they say, you know, they say, I didn't realize, like, food was a problem. I didn't realize that people, you know, had a problem with food. And I would say, well, you didn't realize that, like, you don't see overweight people, you know, but I guess it really just doesn't really come to mind for them. And I think a couple of the people, they had food problems themselves, so I don't know if they were really being honest about not really realizing it. And just this, you know, this attitude of bitterness and hostility. I'm so grateful to be on the line today because I really needed to hear all these shares about, you know, intolerance, because I've been feeling intolerant and impatient. But I'm kind of confused because it's like, I know I'm like intolerant of people who, you know, mostly people who come to me with like gossip and, you know, things like that, rather than, you know, I like to have a conversation about, like, how can we be better? How can I be better? And how can that other person be better? But a lot of people come to me with other stuff, and I guess I'm intolerant for that or impatient with that. So I don't really know where I fall. But anyway, I'm just real grateful to be here, and thank you so much for allowing me to share, and thank you so much for your service. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Dorita P. And just a reminder, if you came in a little late, we're on page 103, the second paragraph, Someday We Hope. And after Marilyn goes, I'll be taking more names. So go ahead, please, Marilyn T.
Thank you. Thank you very much, moderator. This is Marilyn T., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Northern California. So when I look at this, what I have to remember is that we are in step 12, and that we are. This paragraph to me reminds me, just as to the public, we need to project ourselves as recovered people when we are trying to help people. We never criticize down. We're no higher, no better, no lower, no more, no less than anybody else. And what I get out of this paragraph, and as well as the step we're in, is that, and it was over on 102, it said our job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere you can to be helpful. And then skipping one sentence, it says, keep on the firing line of life with these motives and God will keep you unharmed. And then on page 77, three sentences down, it says, our real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So there's my job as a representative of this program. And we just, you know, it's a program of attraction. And we never want to, we don't want to have it a bad representation of the program, is my point. We want to be kind and loving and accepting of all people where they're at, where we meet them at. We want to plant a seed. We want to identify with them and that they can understand it. And that is what we do for the public, the way we live our life after we become recovered. And that's the beauty of that. The way we live our life afterwards is that's the attraction of it, that people want what you have. And that's our jobs. Our job is to be of maximum service to God and to the people about us. So with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Marilyn T. Okay, again, a reminder on page 103, the second paragraph, Someday We Hope. And again, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Janice K.
Stacey J.
Janice.
Wendy B.
Okay, wait. Stacey. Oh, Stacy, Wendy, Devorah. I'm not getting your last initials. Okay.
Janice?
I have Janice P. Stacy E, was it?
No, J.
J. Wendy.
B.
B. And Devorah P?
Dion R.
Dion R, I have you at first, but okay. I had Devorah. Devorah, what's your initial?
E.
E, okay. And I can take one more?
Wendy M.
Wendy M, okay. All right, so here's my lineup. Dion R, I think it was, Janice P, Stacy J, Wendy B, Devorah E, and Wendy M. So go ahead, please, Dion. Dion, star one, are you there?
Okay, thank you for saying that, because I was just talking away. Good morning, y'all, and thank you, Kathleen. This is Dion R, recovered compulsive overeater. recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Guys, thank you all for what you were sharing today. It gave me a lot of hope and reminded me of the growth I've made in the program and still making. And we're, thank God, like they said, we're not, all on the same page at the same time, if that makes sense, or on the same path, in our path, you know, like, so when I hear things, it reminds me of, oh, I used to think like that. And only thing got me out of that was the 12 steps. These beautiful 12 steps got me out of me. And someone shared with me about 8 years ago. She's 7, 8 years. She said, you know, just work the steps and the way to come. I'm like, oh, I've been doing that for 20-something years and it didn't work. But I couldn't leave. That's the gift. I couldn't leave the program and that was my gift. And, you know, 7-something years. Plus years later, I could identify with the growth in myself and others and be honest. And all this going on, for example, I heard someone share earlier, it might have been a yesterday share, I had a little fall, so maybe a little foggy, but I just remember someone shared about we're all equals, you know, and we may be different on different paths in our growth, but me and my brother was sharing yesterday about the pandemic, of course. That's everybody's conversation. And I was like, it's amazing how we're all in timeout. You know, it's like God sent my HP said, look, I'm in charge, you know, so what you going to do now, you know? And he laughed because if he had to know him. But just to say, you know, it sort of seemed like that because I'm like, what are you doing now? He said, same thing everybody else doing, staying in the house. So I don't mean it in that way, but you just to know my brother to stay in, it's just amazing. So, but it was just letting me know that we all equal, you know, we all equal. And it's when my ego get in play and think I'm better or worse, that's when the disease will come in because it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. But when I work with others, I try to practice patience and tolerance and things like that. But I'm not always perfect at it. Guess what? You know what the solution is? I get right into these steps. And I'm going to share with another compulsive overeater, whether I'm on the bus, where I'm at a house, where I'm just by myself and mad at me because I'm here, you know. But just being also going toward what my higher powers lead me to do today, and I'm going to pass with this, is to grow toward and just head toward wherever recovery is. Whatever I'm doing to feel help get out of me, do no harm, and to be of maximum service to him and who he put in my life. And with that, I always get a bonus. So, and with that, I'll pass, guys, and thanks for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Dion R. Okay, Janice P., you're up next, followed by Stacy J. Star one to unmute, Janice.
Okay, now can you hear me? Thank you
yes,
so much.
Yes, I can.
Okay. Actually, it's Janice K.
Janice K,
okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's no big deal. I'm reading this and I'm realizing that bitterness and hostility are not attitudes of recovered or recovering people. For me, bitterness and hostility are things that foster resentment, and also for me, those resentment is an intensive indulgence in self that I just need to get rid of as quickly as possible. I am drawn by the attitudes of kindness and tolerance that I hear and see in the lives of people who are recovering RecoverEd. That's the important thing. I live in Region 1, and they have a heavily big book-oriented journal that they offer. And one of the statements in this journal is, a grateful heart does not overeat. So I sit in meetings, I have in the past sat in meetings, where I've heard people say, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. And I knew that somehow that was not ever going to be true for me. The most important thing in my life without exception is trying to figure out how to live in unity with my higher power on a consistent, ongoing awareness of his presence, or her, or she, or he, it, or they. God can be whatever he wants as long as he's there. So thank you for listening, and I pass.
And thank you, Janice K. Okay, Stacey J., you're up next, followed by Wendy B.
Thanks very much for your service. This is Stacey J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. When I read this paragraph, I'm reminded that when the writers of this book wrote this, the awareness of alcoholism as a disease and that a program of abstinence was necessary to recover was unknown. You know, as the book says, it was largely viewed as a problem of willpower and, you know, poor moral character. And now, AA has done amazing work in that it's much more in public consciousness that alcoholism is a disease, that AA exists, and that for some people, you know, they get pulled out of the scrap heap of life and alcoholism and recover through abstinence and a spiritual program. But we're younger than AA, and there are a lot of people who still don't know that there is such a thing as food addiction and compulsive overeating, and that there are 12-step programs to address a spiritual malady, and that abstinence is needed. A lot of people don't know that still. So you know, a lot of people with heart disease and its various manifestations may be food addicts and compulsive overeaters. And I mean, I went to a doctor when I was in my disease last year who was recommending some kind of medication and did not suggest OA, which I already knew about OA. But and the other thing is, I remember when early in OA, the OA fellowship here that I was going to did not have the idea of entire abstinence the way we do now. So the program has evolved, at least in the city that I'm in, because I was just told to make a list of my binge foods and abstain from those foods. But I was still consuming other foods with sugar in them, and therefore was constantly, you know, the allergy was being triggered. And I remember when someone in the meeting I was in said that she thought that she was allergic to sugar and needed to abstain from all forms of sugar, I was intolerant. I was like, I don't want to hear that. And the reason I didn't want to hear it is because it was true for me. And so therefore it was a horrible and abhorrent idea of, oh my gosh, never have sugar again. You know, I was upset by that idea because I needed it. So I'm so grateful that our understanding of this disease has evolved over time, even, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years that I've been in OA or on the sidelines trying to come back. And I'm grateful that we can be tolerant of each other and people's journey as they, you know, come through the idea of whether they have a disease or not, and that we can be tolerant of people who haven't got there yet and they may never get there. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing, Stacey. Thank you. Okay, Wendy B., you are up next, followed by Devorah E.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and where it talks about the gravity of the alcoholic problem. And so on page 62, it says selfishness and self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. And so that's my alcoholic problem, is selfishness, you know. So So I just noticed my selfishness this morning, you know, that I was impatiently wanting the results to this pandemic. You know, I want to skip the waiting, and I want to skip the process, you know, because it's uncomfortable, you know, and I'm intolerant of delays. You know, I have a neighbor who is in the process of dying of cancer, and I found myself thinking this morning that I want him to die already. I hate this waiting. And that's my want for instant gratification surfacing again, you know, and I'm asking God for patience in the process, you know, to allow others their process, to stop pushing for results. You know, God's offering me patience and grace to be in acceptance with the process, you know, that the goal isn't the end results, you know, the end game. It's the growth in the process that I get to embrace on a daily basis. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Okay, Deborah, you are up next, followed by Wendy M.
Hi, I'm Deborah E. in Southern California, a recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph makes me think of acceptance and all the acceptance I was shown when I came to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I already had so much intolerance of myself and the way I was eating and what I did with food that I think if I would have been met with a spirit of intolerance, I would have walked right back out the door. And it's the fact that I was accepted with open arms that helped me stay and get better. It also makes me think of humility because judgment and criticism are some of my character defects. And it'd be easy for me to fall into that and just, you know, get on my high horse and think, oh, well, I'm so much better than the newcomer who's still suffering with food. So it reminds me to be humble. And it reminds me that I was also once a newcomer. And that if I don't show love and tolerance to those who come in, then I'm not really carrying the message. And that's all I had to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah E. Okay, Wendy M., it's your turn. And after Wendy, we will have time for one more share. So go ahead, Wendy, please.
My name is Wendy, and I am a compulsive overeater and a recovered bulimic. And when it says the gravity of the alcoholic problem, you know, it is it's a very serious problem. Food addiction is very serious. It does kill. It does hurt people seriously. My bulimia has really been a challenge because I have never been overweight in my entire life. Well, being pregnant and after delivering, which really freaked me out because I made sure that I would never put on weight. I made sure that whatever I put in my body, and if I started gaining weight, I would find a way to get rid of it. And so, you know, you don't see the harm of the body. At least I never saw the harm of my body, like gaining weight where it would really hurt me, because I never allowed myself. So you don't see the gravity of the problem of food addiction as a bulimic, you know, and it's hard to go that this is going to kill me. No, it's, well, eventually my esophagus or whatever, my kidneys or whatever I was using to get rid of the food would harm me definitely. But you don't readily see it. Like, it's not harmful to walk, or it's not harmful on the knees, or it's not harmful because the weight isn't there. So you don't see the gravity of the food addiction problem as a person who carries a lot of weight. So I had a lot of difficulty that this disease was going to kill me. I had to really, really come to terms with that. Sure, it might not kill me physically for a while, but it killed me spiritually. I sponsor girls who are bulimic, and they have the same problem of not seeing how this is going, you know, not believing me. Because I've had a girl who's been binging and purging for years that I sponsor, and she goes to the doctor, and the doctor says she's fine. And she's honest with him, and that her esophagus is fine. And, you know, that just blows me away, because I bet she's been doing it for 30, 40 years. And but what happens with me is my connection with my higher power. When I eat something that is not supposed to be in my body, there's a wall that goes up between God and me, a definite wall. Thank you. And so I have to just keep following this program. Abstinence is the most important thing, because if I do not, if I pick up that bite, there will be a wall between God and me, and I will lose that spiritual connection with all that. That's all I have, Wendy M. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Okay, we have time for a couple more people.
Kelly B.
Would like to share. Kelly B.
Jess K.
Jess K. Okay. Yes, I think if you both take about 2.5 minutes, we should be able to do this. So go ahead, Kelly B.
Thank you. Wow, what a great, great meeting. I'm so glad that I called in today. Being on the East Coast makes you guys a lot more accessible than you were to me in California. And certainly being home means phone meetings are suddenly, I feel more connected, right? Because the lack of connection with people outside my immediate family makes the phone meeting makes you all feel closer. Or maybe I'm just getting more used to it, doing this and more Zoom meetings. Either way, I really feel you all in my heart as I listen to you. I live with my sister, who is an admitted sugar addict and has recently put on a lot of weight in the time that I lived here. I've only been abstinent again for 3 weeks after going hard into relapse and coming back. And she certainly knows that Overeaters, and as many people do, knows that Overeaters Anonymous is a thing. But I think it gets grouped into all those conventional weight loss programs or in a kind of support group idea, rather than the idea that eating compulsively is a spiritual problem. I think that's the part that the public does not know about us, and that's the part that I want them to know. I don't have any bitterness or hostility. I didn't find the right thing. I didn't find the secret. I found a God of my own understanding through Overeaters Anonymous, and through that, I don't have to eat compulsively today, one day at a time. And that's what I want for other people. And I don't want that in a way that fills my heart with bitterness or with superiority. It fills my heart with longing and hope. You know, I want that for every person in this world, however they find it. And I certainly know other people who've recovered from eating disorders without finding Overeaters Anonymous. I believe in my heart they probably, through that process, also found spirituality they didn't have before, and that probably has something to do with it. This is only one path to that. But I really appreciate this paragraph. Who would have thought that those few lines could be so impactful? And thank you all for sharing today. I pass.
Thank you, Kelly B. Okay, Jess K., I have about 1.5 minutes, so go ahead, please.
That's fine. Hey, everyone, this is Jess in Asheville, North Carolina. I am getting on the call today because my whole body is covered in poison ivy. It's a very extreme reaction, and my doctor has said you should start taking steroids and stop being miserable. And I am scared of taking something that is known to increase food cravings. She said, look out, your hunger is going to go up. And she knows I'm a compulsive overeater. And I said, well, you know, I've got 88 days off of sugar right now. And so I just need a lot of strength. So I'm putting it out there. Thought I would share. It's great that I've only got 1 minute because it can keep it really simple. I am recovering in this program one day at a time. And I also don't have a sponsor right now. So I'm just asking for help to get through this, taking this course of steroids that's going to help all my limbs not have weeping blisters anymore. I'm miserable. This poison ivy sucks. And also, it's so awesome to not be in the food. So that's my share. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Jess K. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. It was really a wonderful meeting. A special thanks to Team Tuesday, Kim T, Courtney M, Ellen D, Dawn B, Kara L, Wendy B, and Leslie M. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dawn B., would you please read a vision for you, please?
Good morning, Dawn B., recovered from Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.